Blog Talk Radio.
Think of me, think about us since the intimacy. I'm trying to strum you like guitars in this beat. And consider ride and chuck it the blase split. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. This type of man is trying to get you what you need. And he want to know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. Damn. If I was him, I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are where you be. Say, he the type of nigga that tell a chick, take his girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. Say, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep, try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio Sunday Talk. I am your host, Tone. I got my co-host with me. Jonathan, what's going on?
Oh, what's good, everybody? How's everybody doing today?
Everybody chilling, chilling, chilling. Hey, Nels, what's going on?
What's up? I'm here. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, Nels?
Today is today is a very special day. We got a special guest for the first time since we've been doing it. You know, we got a special guest that's going to come and join us, Mr. Darius, Mr. Peace and Love Stanton. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I'm all pumped up, ready to go, man, to be on the GIE show with the good brothers, man. You know, I'm excited. Jonathan, what's up?
What's good with you, D, man? It's a pleasure to have you on with us, bro.
Hey, man, I'm honored, man. I'm honored that y'all would even invite me to be a part of the roundtable. Then, my man, Tone, peace and love to you, brother.
Same to you, brother. Same to you.
And I can't leave out my Spitfire freestyle freestyle battling. Don't be messing with no cattling. Main man, K Nels. What's up, homeboy?
What's up, man? You already know it's always. I appreciate you.
No doubt, man. Love you, brother, man. Thank y'all for having me, though, man, for real.
No doubt. Thanks for being on. I want to jump right into it. I want to get the first question that I got for you guys. And Mr. Stanton, being that you are new to the show, you fresh on, I'll let you start this one. I want your honest opinion on how do you feel about the riots that's going on right now across America. Well, across the world, because I've seen now London and a couple other places are, you know, protesting and doing things too. So I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, man, first of all, you know, I'm gonna jump right into that, but I do want to just say congratulations to you brothers for the work that you all are doing and what you created in terms of, you know, your business, your enterprise, you know, the whole. Music, entertainment, fashion, event space, you know, I mean, I follow you, man. I check you out. I watch all the work that y'all doing. I love how you collaborating and building, you know, you bringing people into the tent versus competing, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we need right now is what you all are doing. You all are really setting the tone and more of us need to be doing, modeling what you all are doing because you are coming together, you're working together, you're supporting each other, you're helping each other grow. You know, I got some Big Dreamers gear, you know what I mean? I'm all a part of the family, you know, just out of love and support. So let me just first and foremost give you all your props for doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
When you mentioned, you know, how I feel about the unrest that's going on and the protests around the country and around the world. You know, I got chills in my body. You know, you all may know me a little longer than a lot of other people. Some might know me, you know, some don't know me from a can of paint. But anybody that does know me knows that for my 29, 30 years, I just turned 50, but for the last 30 years, you know, I've been pushing peace and love. So peace and love didn't just come along because I thought it sounded good. It's what I learned, you know, as a young man by traveling to Jamaica like 11, 12 years old with some Rastas, and they said peace and love. So I started saying peace and love. So when I went out to speak and work in communities throughout Annapolis, Anne Arundel County, and state of Maryland, around the country, you know, I opened up everything I did with peace and love. And I did that because I believe in speaking what I want to see come into existence. I don't say H-E-L-L-O because the root word of that is hell. And I'm not pushing hell. I'm pushing a new heaven and a new earth. And what we're seeing right now is really long overdue, you know, for real. You know, the burning of buildings and the destruction of property. You know, you see what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know, sure, it's been times where people in African communities or black communities have, you know, looted and ransacked some of the properties in their own neighborhoods. But, you know, at this time, you see that, you know, in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, there were white supremacists, you know, that came from out of the state. I just saw it on Fox News. The black attorney general from out of Minneapolis said it. The mayor said it. The governor said it. They all confirmed that they were white terrorists. You saw some videos with it. I mean, I call them terrorists. I don't call them, you know, whatever kind of other groups. I call them terrorists because that's what they are. You know, they're working to provoke terror. The police that are doing what that dude did to all four of them, because all three of them had their knees on his body, pressing on him with their full weight. You know what I'm saying? They were pressing. And when you look at the video closely, he had his both hands in his pockets. He wasn't leaning on the car. And when the man said, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe," he pressed down harder on his neck. So it shouldn't even have been third-degree murder. It should have been first-degree murder, because once he heard the man say he can't breathe and you know you got your knee on his neck, you know that you are killing him. You know you are blocking his airway. And then you double down by leaning into it. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, these protests are long overdue. You know, I walk in the streets in Baltimore City in my color homes where it's killing. You know what I'm saying? When I was a little boy, I walked in Cabrina Green in Chicago with my mother. You know, I walked in Philly with Move with my mother. So I've been doing this all my life. So for me, it's an everyday struggle and a fight to keep us alive and keep us free. You know, so I'm just glad to see people joining the movement and then stop letting the unacceptable be be acceptable. And that's what I see happening now. And it's finally black people, white people, black men standing up. Finally, you know, there are some black men that stand up, but we need more to stand up. Because guess what? At any given time, if you get pulled over and you haven't dealt with it, you can end up in the same position. So you may as well stand up now and take a stand and do what you can and get out. There's no time for fear. We don't have to fear. We are immortal beings. We are the son of God. We are the gods inside of ourselves. There's no need to be afraid. And I'm going to leave it on this. We should no longer be using the word white supremacy. Henceforth, we should be calling it white insecurity, because if they were supreme, they wouldn't have to try to push somebody else down to push themselves up. It's the insecurity that they have for the black man and the black woman and the black child.
Right. Thanks. K-Nell, you got the floor.
Yeah, definitely. Just to echo the sentiments of what Mr. Darius expressed, because he covered it in, you know, at length. The way it is now is the universe only works by universal principles, universal laws. So you can't plant an apple tree and get oranges. It's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? So America has been sowing these seeds of indifference to racism and, you know, that type of malicious stuff that's going on. It's only right that tree is going to bear fruit. And what we're seeing is the residual of centuries of this style of oppression. What they try to do so often is they try to view it through a vacuum and try to make these things seem like isolated incidents. But it's not. I tell people all the time, just it's simple things that people need to understand in general. The system is not flawed. It is designed and working exactly the way it was intended to. You don't get the types of results that you're getting at the level that you're getting these results if a system is not designed to do so. We're not talking about anomalies. We're talking about a consistent pattern of behavior that's in the fabric of America since its inception. And since its inception, black people from the diaspora of Africa displaced has been fighting against these same symbolisms in every manner that you can imagine, from protesting to voting to marching to rioting, everything that you can name. And so you arrive to a point now where there's a universal awakening. There's this awakening of the conscience of who we are and this interconnectivity as black people and the struggle and the plight that we have to deal with. And so this is karma. We've heard it before. Malcolm X echoed it. Martin Luther King echoed it. They knew of a time such as this. Regardless of what you feel their philosophical differences is, they knew what they were working towards, and they knew the result of not achieving those things. It was going to ultimately come to this point. And fast forward 50 years, if it means burning everything down, then burn everything down, because I'm not interested in fixing anything that was never designed to be or never broken in the first place. This is, I mean, think of the things that we're seeing. You have a perceived this idea that 13% of a population, literally, can make up nearly 50% of incarcerated people, and you think that's an anomaly? You think there's some type of predisposition to criminality that black people have? No, the system is designed. That's all a part of the systemic design, the racial design. They knew that from slavery to Reconstruction era, going into Plessy versus Ferguson, separate but equal laws, and the Jim Crow South, and the Civil Rights Movement, to the crack epidemic, to mass incarceration, and the opioid crisis that you see today, everything. It was literally a domino effect. And all of the symptoms are exactly the same the symptoms never change. And we think, you know, too many people, I've been having, I don't think you can, and you probably can hear the frustration in my voice. I don't think you could imagine the number of conversations that I've been having with black people in these positions of leadership that they've
been
for themselves.
What's hey, Nell.
Yeah.
Your phone is going in and out.
My bad. I said too much. That's all. You can hear me?
Go ahead.
My connections is good. Bars up, everything. No, for real. But I know how the game go. But the reality is, this is what we're dealing with. And this is a very pivotal time. And I have zero tolerance for everybody. I don't care who you are. So I'm drawing a line in the sand right now. And you either on the side of righteousness, you either on the side of the good of the people, or you're not. And if you're not, you are op, and I'm treating you like an op. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how long we've been cousins, brothers, aunts, sisters, uncles, whatever. The line is getting drawn in the sand because we can't play. We're talking about legacy here. And what are we still trying to do? Approval of a country that never accepted us? That's what we're really working towards? We're displaced people without an identity. What are we reaching for? We feel like the continent don't accept us because we're too far removed from Africa. We know we're not accepted here, so we just in limbo. And what you're seeing is the frustrations of that limbo playing out in real time. No, but we're going to get back to finding out and identifying with who the core of this person is, because it reverberates in all of us. As people of color, as people of the sun, it's in us.
It's doing it again now. I think, I don't know if you got an earpiece in or something?
No, not at all. I'm trying to tell you, no different from any other time that I've been talking to you, location and everything. Every time when I do the show, I'm in the same spot. So I'm telling you is what I'm saying because they listening, and I'm cool with that. But you, somebody else can have the floor. I've said enough.
Facts. Jonathan, go ahead.
Well, then, shit, they're going to wind up muting me, too. I say this. You know, I live in Brooklyn, New York, but I'm a country boy. And my mama always said, you burn the pot long enough, it's going to whistle. If you turn the teapot on and you leave it on, eventually that pot's going to whistle. And what people are seeing now is the whistle, because ain't but so much you're going to do before somebody gets tired. And the most dangerous people are the tired people. The most dangerous dog is a dog that's backed into a corner and tired of hiding, tired of running. And people are tired of running. People are tired of begging. People are tired of pleading. People are tired of marching. And when somebody gets fed up, they fed up. And when the volcano blows over, it burns everything in its path. A volcano don't care if this store was good or if this store was bad. A volcano don't care how pretty a building was. A volcano don't care what the people look like. That volcano going to burn everything in its path. And it's going to keep going until it gets where it wants to go. That's what a volcano does. And that's what you're seeing now with the peoples of color, and not just the people of color, but with all people who are now frustrated with this bullshit. Because I've been quick to say on social media that look at the people looting and rioting. Them ain't all black folk. You got a lot of young white people out there busting things down. Now, of course, some of them are paid to do so. Some of them are infiltrating. But some of them are just straight up pissed off. Because this generation, K-Nell's generation, and the youngest coming up after him, they different. They don't have the fears that have been instilled in generations before them. They don't have that media that has told them over and over and over again how they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do, because they don't even watch TV like that. Their whole communication system, their whole belief system is all on that cell phone, social media. You saw protests break out in 12 U.S. cities and 3 countries in a matter of 2 days. It was all coordinated on social media. And social media is the one thing that they cannot control to a larger degree when it comes to something like this. Because you can't stop people from posting. You can't stop 1,000 people from posting. The video of the cop with his knee and the man's neck in the first place went viral because a 17-year-old was standing there filming it. And he dropped it on social media. And it went viral. So these youngins are pissed off. And they're going to go get some. And they're ready for war. They're ready for whatever. Because that's the kind of generation they have anyway. They're the generation of whatever. You know what I mean? So they're keeping it real. And they you know, I have a 19-year-old daughter. And, you know, she is a smart cookie. And one thing I do with her, in order to learn her and learn her generation, I don't interfere. I don't hold her back. I let her post what she's going to post. I let her say what she's going to say. And anybody that have a problem with it, you come see me. And I've been watching her post. I ain't told her nothing. I just watch her post. These youngins is tired. Because they, like my daughter told me, she said, if we don't do something right now, that's going to be us. And that's going to be my kids. She said, I'm not having that. And that's exactly how they feel. So, you know, am I cool with the protest? Hell yeah. You know, and the rioting and all that stuff that's come along with it. Well, you know what? You should have saw this coming. Real talk, you should have saw this coming. Because you can only slap a person in the face for so many times before they start slapping back. And, you know, I remember when I was a youngin', I had I think it was middle school. There was a big fight in middle school, and one of my homies was in the fight. Now, I jumped in there, and I jumped in there not to fight with him, to be honest with you. I jumped in there to pull him out. So I went up in there and tried to pull him out. And I wound up getting punched in the face twice, trying to pull him out. Now, nobody in that altercation had beef with me. They weren't trying to hit me. But because I got in there, I got hit twice. And it taught me a lesson. When a fight, when an altercation, when something breaks out, and you swinging, you're not sitting there looking to see where them punches fall. Bullets don't have no names on them. Hatred, violence, anger has no name on it. So I do hear people saying, oh, why they tear up this store, why they tear up that store. Bro, you got an angry mob now. You should have halted the conditions that caused it. Because as many people that are on social media talking about they shouldn't be doing this, they shouldn't be doing that. If this many people that are complaining about the stores and stuff getting tore up, were complaining about the cops that were sticking their knees in people's faces and choking people out, maybe we wouldn't even got to this point. So as far as I'm concerned, y'all riding up, keep riding up. You know what I mean? Like real talk. And, you know, to be honest with you, as a black man, I can tell you point blank, it didn't matter if I was peaceful or not. I'm still a target. Because the last 3 or 4 black men that they killed weren't doing anything aggressive. One was jogging down the block. One broke up a fight. One was selling cigarettes. Like, come on. So you know what? Ride out. That's where I'm at.
I agree with all of y'all. I think that it's all necessary. The peace, the burning, I think it's I'm not mad at none of it. You know, what I am mad at is, like Nell said, like, you got to pick a side, man. You can't be 50-50. You know, this is the time to do what needs to be done. And you're either going to do it or you're not. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not about change, like real change and really changing America and really changing the world and what needs to happen, then you're the enemy. You know what I'm saying? So that's my take on that. I want to get Mr. Stan. I got another question. The thing is, it's not the riots. It's what do we do moving forward from the riot? What do we do moving forward as a people?
So, like I said in the top of the call, we have to first come together and bond like you all did. And we can't wait for people. You know, like you said, the people that's halfway in the middle of the road, the people that want to say, well, it's not this and it's not that, and they want to fuss about whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. You know, it was the Democratic Party that created three strikes you out with a crime bill with Joe Biden, you know, and Bill Clinton. And that party is the party that has us locked up in the prison industrial complex. They championed that. And they championed that because they wanted to follow the route of the Republicans and be tough on a crime and try to win that vote that way instead of doing what's best. And so what we have to do, first and foremost, is we got to come together. After we come together, then we got to retool how we lead. We're developing a leadership curriculum. I'm writing a book right now on retooling leadership. And that the reason why that's so important is because there was a study done here in Maryland called the Kerwin Commission. And this Kerwin report done by the Kerwin Commission, and it was a Kerwin report. And what they looked at 50 years ago was they looked at housing, employment. They looked at finances. They looked at incarceration rates. They looked at education. And they looked at health in the black community. And out of those six areas, the only thing that we improved on in 50 years is education. And the education was only a slight bump. But what good is the education if all of those other areas you're lagging behind yourself? That's not even compared to other people. That's just 50 years from where we were then to where we are now. And in 50 years, we have gone backwards. So if we've gone backwards, that means that we're not leading properly. And so what I'm suggesting that we do in terms of how we lead is first and foremost, put ego in our back pockets. Get out of the way. Get out your way. Get out your own way. Stop attacking each other. Stop spending time on that. You know, I do two different talk shows. One is called Peace in the Morning, and all we focus on is positive stuff. We talk about real issues, but we talk about the solutions. We don't spend a whole lot of time crying, complaining, whining about what's wrong, who did it. We bring people on like you all that are doing the work. We bring people that are just rapping and singing about stuff that's going to help our communities grow. So that's number one, is get your ego in the back pocket. Number two, you got to be able to put people over profit. Stop looking out for money when people's interest is at stake. You got to look out for people first. The money will come. Number three, you got to put principle over politics. Stop letting politics get in the way because you think that people got to vote this way or they're going to be elected or they're not going to elect me if I do this or if I do that. Do what's best for the principle. That's where principle is involved. And then the fourth thing is we got to lead with succession in mind. You know, I'm always, I am, whatever success I have is because people opened doors for me young. And it just so happened I was trained young, started working at like 12 with one job cleaning law offices, got another job washing dishes at like 13, another job doing some more dishes somewhere else. By the time I was 16, I had like three different jobs. You know what I'm saying? So I had work ethic in my blood. But the deal is, I always open a door for somebody else. I always am looking to help push and promote other people. So we got to lead with succession in mind. We can't want to be the preacher of the same church for 25, 30 years, want to be the president of the company for 40 years, want to be the chair of the board for 15, 20 years. Go do something else. Do your job, do your part, have a good time with it, train somebody else so they can come behind you. You go to the next level or you go to another role. But continue to build succession so we can bring new energy, new ideas. We need that innovation, that creativity, that energy to the table. And then the other thing that we need to do is we got to train ourselves to love ourselves. We've got a major issue of self dislike, hatred. I don't like to use the word H-A-T-E, but that's what it is. And we've been trained like that. You know, and I'll close on this. You think about right now in Africa, the countries in Africa that were all of them that have been colonized by other European nations, their history books, for example, in Gambia, their history books, they start off with the French. They start off with whatever country colonized, that's where their history starts. Not their ancient African history, when we were the originators of math and science and medicine and education, university, scholarship, all of that rooted with art, architecture, all of that started with us. But you don't see that. So even in Africa, they're not even trained that they are the origin of people, of society, of humanity, of civilization. We are civilization. We're the civilized ones. Just because you got cars and all of that doesn't make you civilized. It's your behavior that makes you civilized. And so we have to go back to learning who we are and loving ourselves and deal with the mental health, because we have too much self-hate. And that self-hate turns into mistreatment of our women and mistreatment of our children. And too many of our children are sexually abused and raped and assaulted by our family members and friends and people that are in charge of dealing with our children, who have access to our children, and that basically ruins us almost, because we don't deal with it from a mental health perspective, and hurt people hurt people. And so when men get abused and raped as children, they grow up and do the same thing. Women end up dealing with men until somewhere along the line you either spiritually break that cycle or you have some mental health treatment that allows you to break that cycle. So that's what we got to do, in my opinion.
Awesome. K Nels, where you at?
I'm here. Definitely, of course.
Oh, you okay? I thought you wanted me to ask the question again. You got it.
No. I'm with you. You can hear me, right? You can hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that I was coming through clearly. I know y'all was having some troubles earlier. He was able to touch on a lot of things, in a linear fashion. The thing that I'm largest on, though, is self-identity is important. And one of the ways you do that is through, like Mr. Darius alluded to, is just the true knowledge of self. When you got to look at our existence in this country, we are people that have been deprogrammed and reprogrammed to serve the country in the capacity that it needs us to serve. During slavery, it was slavery. You know, during the Reconstruction era, they had their agenda. Throughout history, there's the agenda. So we got to understand that there, just as there was a systematic deconstruction of the black man, woman, and child, there has to be a systematic reconstruction of the black man, woman, and child. And one way we'll be able to do that is with information. One of the greatest commodities in present day is information. Fortune 500 companies, the latest Fortune 500 companies, your Googles, your Apples, and all of these different companies, Facebook, so on and so forth, the reason why they can leverage billions of dollars in IPO on the stock market is because the amount of information about people that they store. So if that's what make them worthy then and valuable, then what would that say for the black man, woman, and child? The information that we have, coupled with what we, how we exist in this country, is gonna give value to ourselves, and then once we can align ourselves with that value, then we can be self-empowered, we can be self-informed, and then of course we can affect systematically rebuild our communities. Because, you know, I'm just a firm believer in the most simplistic of processes. Community is important. You tell the welfare of a community by the condition of its elders, by the condition of its women, and by the condition of its children. And, again, just piggybacking and alluding to what Mr. Darius said is 100% on point. all of those variables play a factor in building a healthy community. It's not just a physically healthy community, but a spiritually and emotionally and psychologically healthy community as well. And one way we could do that is by protecting one another from the traumas that we have to experience. As black people in this country, we know the traumas that we're going to get from the external enemy. But if we can limit the amount of traumas that we expose ourselves to as a community, it will help further so many causes, because we would be able to heal one another effectively as a community. But in terms of, again, all of that is preliminary work. All of that is, we're going to have to treat it like on-the-drop training, because the margin for error is small. In terms of a specific agenda, once, as we are empowering people and giving people information, I think it's definitely taking what we have in this country tangibly is our spending power. That's one that's something tangible that we have, because every day, no matter what the class level is, black people can go out and spend money. So if we can do the education, teach one another how to keep that money in our communities, we can effectively not only heal ourselves psychologically, like the things that I mentioned, but we'll also be able to build economic infrastructure where we're self-sustaining. Because that's important. As long as, because the reality and what this pandemic has showed us, if they have the ability to shut down food supply, so if we can't even feed ourselves, how can we go to war to protect ourselves? You know what I mean? So because they're in, we know collectively that there has been throughout history, in black history, and I'm just talking about in this country, and I know, again, not to minimize the importance of our larger history outside of this continent as African people, but just to speak to our history in this country, we have seen black affluence on so many levels. We have seen black self-sustenance on so many levels, but we've also seen a consistent agenda to thwart that. So, yeah, economic infrastructure is important. And I think I don't know how we're going to go about doing this yet, but I think it's important that we align ourselves with our constituents in Africa. I think that's 1,000% important, because if we could use some level of sovereignty to be able to align ourselves with what's going on, then we can create we could come sit at the tables and speak a different language and have a different conversation. Different things to what type of power that we have in this country, because at the end of the day, Africa is still getting raped and pillaged by the world for resources that's utilized every day. And so if we can control the Republic of Congo, which is the most resource rich, then we can sit at the table with Apple because they need the cobalt for their iPhones. You know what I mean? We can sit at the table with these different companies and have different conversations, because we'll be able to tangibly impact the economic infrastructure, because they are stealing the resource from our countries. So if we can reclaim those countries because they belong to us, they can't be commandeered. If we can empower ourselves that way, in the grander scheme of things, I would like to see something. I would like to be instrumental in developing those types of relationships, because I think this is a brown world. I like what you said about white insecurity, because it's 100% accurate. We're not a minority nowhere except in our minds. That's it. Like, it's more brown people in this world. Don't ever get it confused. And then the power of who we are, and speaking specifically to what he mentioned on white inferiority, and I'll close for what I have to say now. White people are the only people that need another white person to reproduce themselves. So the threat of their existence is constant. And if you think they're not aware of that, then you're foolish. And because they are constantly aware of that, they set aside and they set in place systems to help preserve their legacy, because they're I'm just talking about genetic sequencing. They're genetically inferior because they only can reproduce with themselves, whereas we can reproduce with whoever, whenever, wherever. That's power. That's a power that they can't have no matter how much they want it.
What you think, Jonathan? Can I jump in on that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so I totally agree with you with regard to I'm dealing with folks right now in Gambia, in Ghana, you know, we should talk about that with regard to GEI and see how we can, you know, make some links with regard to that if y'all not already working in on the continent, because they are looking – what happened, they were colonized. And so they are looking to now finally Africa. It started really back in 1919 when they started to really fight for liberation, and then – you know, one country after another started to get their freedom and their independence. But in the case with France, right now France still has 13 colonized nations that are now independent, but France has been paying a colonization tax. And they've got this contract of sorts with them. I forgot the name of the document that has like 11 different points. For example, when they get money, when they make deals, so let's say a country has sell one of their former nations sells oil. They sell the oil in U.S. dollars, but then they take the French, make them put their money in the bank, and then they give them something called a francophone, and they can't be used nowhere else but in their country. So they take their money, turn their money into U.S. dollars. Their U.S. dollars is what is trade, so they don't turn it into it. That's what, you know, when you do international trade, you're trading on the dollar. So they are taking their money. That's just one example. But they also make them pay a colonization tax annually.
Yep.
These countries are barely making it. So that's just one example of the Europeans in Europe still pilfering. France's economy would plummet if they lost their money. And then they threaten them by not, if you don't do what we say, if you don't pay us this, we're going to destroy the infrastructure that we put in place, only to rape you of your resources.
Exactly.
And so it is time for us to partner and team up and collaborate with our brothers and sisters and bring our technology and our information and our leadership and all those things that we have and pool that with the resources that are there, so we can lift Africa up. And that's what Gaddafi was working on doing before the United States killed him.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And so when you really look at it, we've got to partner with, as I said, we got to come together. So I love that. I just wanted to share and support the fact that you're absolutely right. We definitely have to tap into our resources, the African diaspora all over the world.
Absolutely. Before Jonathan, I give you the floor, I think, again, to go back to what Nell said, as we tap into that, we have to understand who's 100% on board and who's not, because bringing the wrong people can be very destructive. So, you know, we really – that's like one of the – that's a very, 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 very important thing Nell said. Like, we have – to get people that's 100% on board, not 75-25, not 80-20, not 50-50. You got to be 100% on board with moving forward and building up our communities and you know, even working with our brothers in Africa and even in other countries. So go ahead, Jonathan, you got the floor.
So I agree with all of you. And I've been listening and thinking about what more I want to add on top of it, because I actually agree with every word that's come out of all three of your intelligent voices. So here's where I add in. We need new black leadership here in America. People are paying attention because a generation lost it and decided to do something about it. So after this is all said and done, I can't see a generation of Al Sharpton leading the people of color here in the United States. I think we need new leadership. We need new voices in the black community. We need others to be heard. Fresh ideas, fresh direction. And my criticism is that the leadership in the black community the generations before mine tend to be just like the leadership in the white community, the generations of Trump. They tend not to want to let go of any power. They tend not to listen. They tend not to act. I think that we need young voices, fresh voices, you know, that speak for the black peoples, peoples of color here in the United States. I was reading an article today here in New York City about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her denouncing of the New York City Police Department. She's the only one that came out and formally denounced them. Our mayor sugarcoated it and spoke nice of them. Ocasio came out point blank and said, y'all are thugs and killers. So I'm wondering, during all of these protests or all this stuff going on, where are the voices? I don't hear Sharpton. I don't hear all them other ones. You know, I know people got various names for them. I'm not going to do that. I give them the respect that I feel they deserve, you know. But we're talking about people who marched with Martin Luther King back in the 60s. And this is 2020. I think we need new voices in our leadership. And I think that will branch off to being able to effectively reach out and work with our brothers and sisters abroad. Because not only do we need to work with and fellowship with and build with our brothers and sisters on the African continent, but we need to work with the African diaspora. We need to work with all of our brothers and sisters in Europe, because they're out there protesting and marching too. There were over 2,000 people in Berlin. There were several thousand people in Toronto. There were 1,000 people marching in London. There are people all over that continent, black peoples, who also trace their lineage back to the same place we do, obviously, that we need to link with. I think we need to have a global reconstruction of ideas, of understanding and knowledge of us as a black people. And I don't think that that can be accomplished with the current quote-unquote black leadership that we have in the country right now.
So, Jonathan,
I think, you got it, Mr. Stank. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Jonathan, I think, you know, I concur with you that we need to I use the term retool leadership, because we can get, we can get new voices, and we could presume that new voices were going to bring about new ideas and a new mindset. But if new ideas and new people and new voices are coming up and being trained in that same model, you know, something's got to break from that model. And unless we have people whose mindset shift and what we see as important, then we would be in the same position with just younger people who feel like, I got to go along to get along. You know, unless there is a presumption that because we've got younger leadership that they are going to step into a mode that is going to be different from with the way in which that we have been led thus far. So I do agree we do need new voices, young leaders, younger, you know, leadership. But they started off young. You know, I think it's the difference is what are we training them to do as leaders? You know, I think that's really the difference. And I think that, you know, we have to make it very clear that we don't have to go along to get along, and that we have, as Nell said, we have the wealth if we combine it. You know, if we just combine our human resources, alone in Africa. You know, Brazil, second most African populated place in the world. Those people down there are dying. You know, where's the Black Caucus here in the United States fighting for the people in Brazil? Where their president is like Trump, he basically said he don't care. Some people are going to die. And it's us there that's dying in Brazil to COVID-19. So we do need leadership. I totally agree. I just would advocate that we do some training. As you said, you know, we do need a global summit of African people that are like, look, and you have leaders right now in Africa, and we got to get behind them and support them. We got to identify them, you know, and we got to, you know, like I said, we got to work with people who are going to work with us. We can't keep trying to, you know, connect with this organization or that organization. Well, you know, when they ready to come on board, they'll come on board. In the meantime, we're going to work, you know, and that's,
right.
That's the kind of mentality we got to have. You know, we got to find the people that are pushing and jump in there and support them. The politicians, like that sister in New York, we got to get behind her and let the people know we're going to send her money. We're going to stand behind her. We're going to show up at her events. We're going to protect her. You know what I'm saying? Don't touch her. You know what I mean? You see what happened with them people in down in Georgia. What happened was the Black Gun Association put their pictures on Facebook and their names and their addresses. And that's how people found out what was going on. They was running around 3 months free as a bird, sleeping peaceful as a mug after they shot that boy in cold blood. And other people had walked through the house on video. Children played in that house. A white couple walked through that house. A bunch of people walked in that house, and the people who even owned the house said that they didn't take nothing from out of the house. So they weren't even bothered. They had no right to do that. But they did it, and what happened was, finally, a Black group, the Black Gun Association, the Black Rifle Association, whichever one it is, they put their pictures on social media with their address and their names, and that's how it started to really fall down on them. In this case, with this situation, the protesters showed up at the police officer's house. They showed up at that dude that put the knee, Chauvin, whatever his name is. They showed up at his house, and they had 70 police officers surrounding his house, protecting his house. They showed up at his front door. That's what's going to happen. You can't just keep killing us and walk going home and sleep silently while our people are dying innocently, handcuffed, bounded in the back of cars and trucks in jail cells, and we end up dead, and nobody knows what happened. No. So, you know, we got to work with those who want to work with us, and we do need new leadership, but we got to make sure we retrain them so they don't lead the way that we've been leading, so we don't get the same results we've been getting.
Yeah,
I definitely agree.
I definitely agree with Mr. Stanton and Jonathan. We do need new leadership, but I feel like the same way we teach our kids from birth how to play basketball, football, soccer, baseball, that, you know, sometimes let's steer them in another direction. You know what I'm saying? Because we need more doctors. We need more lawyers, farmers. You know what I mean? Like, how many of our kids know how to shoot? You know, like again, these are some of the things that Nels was bringing up weeks ago. Like, these are things that we have to do with our kids as, you know, as when they're small. Like, we got to teach them how to, you know, grow crops and stuff like that. So when they do cut off the food supply, we know how to survive. You know, a lot of us don't, like, I'm going to be honest, I'm 40 years old. I've never been fishing. I don't know how to fish or crab. You know what I'm saying? So not just the youngest, you know, a lot of us need training too with certain things. You know what I'm saying? Just to survive moving forward. But these are things that we should be taking care of with our kids at a young age so they know how to survive. But we can't expect change from somebody, you know, that was marching in the 50s and 60s. They hold mentality and attitude is totally different. You know what I'm saying? So I don't expect a Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson to be on the front line ready to ride and die. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't expect that. But I do wish that they did empower more people. And I think that's one thing, like y'all said, that's our problem. We get power, but we don't teach it to other people. We hold the information. So when that person is gone, it's nobody else with it. If you notice, like I always tell people, like, look at North Korea. When the father died, the son is 10 times worse. When they thought that the son was about to die, people was praying that he lived because the daughter was 10 times worse than him. So I think that's what we have to do. Like, we have to breed our own, you know, our people all to be just like that. Okay, you take this set is just as worse. They know how to fish, hunt, everything, and move and know what's going on. But I think a lot of times, like, we just got so selfish and the power and making deals behind closed doors that we forgot about two generations. But it's never too late because we're seeing it right now. So all we got to do is come together, organize, and again, this is very important, make sure that the people that we organize with is 100% on. I'm going to say that forever. If we're going to organize and do things, we just can't be bringing on people that just say they want to be a part of it because we know how that could go. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Man, Tony, you hit something on the head, man. You had a lot of great points, man. One, we definitely have to train. First of all, we got to train ourselves about ourselves. We got to learn who we are in history, our rightful place in history, that we are originators of mass science and all of those things. Number two, we definitely have to train our young people. You know, I don't really – my biggest – the biggest thing I like about Obama was the fact that he was a black man in power, and he was smart, and he was articulate, and he had a family. His image was strong, you know, because people around the world got all these negative images of black people, including people in Africa don't want to have nothing to do with black people in America, a lot of them, because of what they see. And then they trained us to look at black Africa like Tarzan and boogeymen and flies and poor children, you know, everybody's starving. So don't nobody want to go there. No beachfront. You don't never see no. When the last time you seen a commercial of a beachfront in Africa? When all it is, when you got all that coastline, you know. But anyway, so your point about training, you know, other things. Obama got up. His mother got him up at 4 o'clock in the morning and had him reading and writing. That's how he was the number one student at Howard School of Law. You know, so we got to be able to train our children how to critically think, like you said. Thank God they don't know how to shoot in the inner city. We'd have more deaths. The only reason why the death toll not higher than it is now is because people don't know how to shoot. You know what I'm saying? So we got to train our children how to do things for themselves, how to cook, how to clean, how to survive outside in nature, you know what I mean, how to fast. So if we got to go 3 days without food and all we got is moringa seeds in our mouth, all we drinking is water, we're not going to be all stressed out and all flipping off because we don't have no food, because we know we've been trained to fast and to go without food and to pray and meditate and work out. You know, those are the kinds of things that we got to start, you know, teaching our children so that, you know, instead of sending them to basketball, football, baseball camp, you know, send them to speed reading classes, send them to SAT, ACT prep, send them to, you know, leadership academies, you know, so – you're right on point, man. We got to, you know, we got to shift the way we train in our young people. And I will say this. I don't it's more about the mindset than it is about the age. Because you can take somebody like Harry Belafonte, or you can take somebody like Danny Glover, or you could take somebody like Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle not as old, but Danny Glover is. You know, you could take those brothers, you know, and they are very forward thinking. You know what I mean? And you can get some young people that think that, younger people that's millennials, and think that, nah, well, you got to be working with a multicultural society. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with working with other people. You know what I mean? But we got to get our house in order first. Before we can go work and build, you know, we can collaborate and have, you know, people that support our cause and we support theirs, but to our own self be true so we can make sure our stuff is together. So I just, you know, I want to just kind of add to that point that, yeah, it's good to have young, but if young has the same mindset of the leadership of past, again, we got to come with a different mindset. Yeah, age is not as much as important as it is the mindset of the individuals. That's what's going to make it run. And you doggone got to make sure the right people on your team. Because if you got people that's bluffing and trying to set you up, and you just taking people because they talk good or they look good, or they went to this school, or they got this money, or they talk some science or some knowledge and some mathematics, and they can run that down and make it seem like that's a, you know, all that brother deep. Don't get caught up in that. Could get caught up in the work.
Facts. Well, it's at 7 o'clock right now, but I do want to get Jonathan and Nails. You know, any closing thing that y'all want to say before we head out? Nails, you got anything that you want to close with as far as the topics that we've been on?
Yeah. This conversation is definitely a layered conversation. And I will be honest and say it's a lot of parts of this conversation that I'm not inclined to have on a public forum, because the time is just so important right now. Like it's literally a paradigm shift. And if you understand what it means, what alignment means, and the importance of it, now is in that paradigm shift. It's imperative that we align ourselves in order to be able to maximize the potential of what we can accomplish during this transition, because it's 100% a transition. And I think it's just super important that we be as clandestine as possible. And the reason I say that is because I've taken time in my I kind of section my life off in compartments so far. So, like, from age 25 to 30, I'll be 31 this year. From age 25 to 30, I spend an immense amount of time not only identifying who I am as it pertains to ensuring that I'm aligning myself with my purpose, but studying those who changed the world that came before me, because they're all cautionary tales. So for all the good that I could find, it wasn't enough. I always search ways that they could have been stronger, whether it's Martin Luther King, whether it's Malcolm X, whether it's Mega Evers, whether it's Marcus Garvey, you know, whether it's so many of the leaders that came before me. And every structure that has been established through recorded history was destroyed from within. And so when you know, again, paying attention to patterns of behaviors and certain consistency in those patterns of behavior, it's 1,000% important to be mindful who you're keeping in your immediate circles, who are you sharing certain information with, because we must protect ourselves like we've never done before, unless you or else – with all the things that we have the ability to accomplish, the enemy that exists out there, because there is an enemy, will surely destroy you from within. So that's what I want to say in closing. Continue to learn, continue to grow, continue to apply the things that you know and that you're learning, and continue to build relationships and bonds with the people that are aligning themselves. And it's very easy to identify with them, because you don't have to explain anything. They know. They can identify. A tiger knows his own stripes. If you find yourself having to explain your position, your causes, why you're doing what you're doing, why you have the agenda that you have to people that's supposed to be on the same team as you, you know for a fact, undoubtedly, that they're not for you. That they're working against you. They're not meant to be a part. And guess what? That's fine, because some people are meant to be spectators. Not everybody is meant to align themselves with what's going on. But you will be able to identify that. And when you identify that, listen, it's going to be difficult, because it's going to be friends. It's going to be family members. It's going to be loved ones. It's going to be people that's close to you who you thought was going to really ride for you or be there or be able to share certain things with you, and you're not, and you're going to either have to excommunicate those people, you're going to have to just love them from afar, or feed them with a long spoon, as I say. So that's just where I am. That's where my mentality is. It's a lot of things that I'm working on with myself, and I'm going to continue to do the self-work because that's the most important work. But as I continue to learn and grow, it's a quote by Gandhi that says, you learn, teach, as you earn, give. And that's the notion that I lead myself with, and I'll continue to do so.
Before we get off, can I let everybody know where they can find you at?
You already know it's Kate Nels everywhere. And I'm ready to stop using social media as much as well, because I know how everybody is controlled by the algorithm. I say that because I mean it, because it's information that I'm learning. So, but it's Kate Nels everywhere, KAYNELLZ. Be mindful of the algorithm. But that's where I'm searchable on all platforms, including social media, YouTube, so on and so forth. Now or Never, which I feel is a soundtrack to the revolution. Now or Never is available everywhere on all streaming platforms. Definitely. I love everybody that support. And I appreciate the ones that don't support, because you know where you stand.
Jonathan, you got any closing words?
My only remarks are simple. Don't get comfortable. Yes, people are talking. Yes, there is at this point some type of limited effectiveness. And don't get comfortable. Don't think that we have accomplished anything or we've received anything. We haven't. Don't get comfortable. You know, let's see this thing through until we get what we want. Just don't get comfortable.
Can you let everybody know where they can find you at, or, you know, platforms?
Absolutely. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, JEPhotos_CEO. I am the president of GEI. Anything you want to do for GEI, just hashtag GEI. Search hashtag GEI on any social media platform or in a Google search, and we will pop up and reach out, and we will be here.
Mr. Stanton, you got anything you want to close with?
Hey, brothers, I just want to say, man, how grateful I am again, how thankful I am to God and his good and righteous ancestors in the universe for bringing us together, for the work that you all are doing, for the collaboration, for the brotherhood, for the support that you have for one another, and the models that you all are setting, you know. So I just encourage you to keep on doing that. I love to hear the brother talk about self-work. You know, what I want to leave with folks is, since this whole stay in place, you know, movement, you know, the two things that we've been working on in our house, one is to pray more and meditate more than we on television and watch social media, watch television and on social media, and work out more than we eat, so that we get in a position that our bodies and our minds are in tune with the universe. So that, you know, we allow the flow to go, you know, to just take total control over us. And then lastly, I really want to move to a point where we do convene so that we can have those communications and those conversations that we need to have to help us grow, you know, without any interruption, and we can definitely take it to the next level. So don't be afraid. You know, there's no fear. We don't need to be afraid. You know, these shootings and these things that they're videoing and the continued media press. I'm sure you saw the dude in Georgia who was on the side of the road when they pulled over the white lady, and she told her, give me your license. And she said, well, I don't give you a license because y'all shoot people. He said, no, come on, give me a license. She said, no, I seen all you. He said, no, you seen the videos. We only shoot black people. So it's a campaign. You know, I'm sure that they got police somewhere. They got something where they got, you know, it's just, I want you to go check out this report, this study that was done in 2019 called the Plain View Report. The Plain View Report. Basically, what they did was they looked at five police districts, major metropolitan police districts around the country, and 20% of the active police officers had racist posts on their social media. right? So that just give you a clear indication. Philadelphia has 72 officers that they fired after they found out this in 2019. That's the kind of work that we got to do to get rid of them, and then on every level, because that's it. The coroner, medical examiner, the prosecutors that we have to elect, the local politicians, the judges, and then the police officers, and then you go to the wardens and the COs, the correctional officers. In every one of the instances, even in doctors' cases, you need to go check their social media. This has to be an active, coordinated effort. And once you find it out, especially with those people who are on taxpayer dollars, that you remove them, you find them. When you find out that they did something illegal, you arrest them, you lock them up, and you find them, and you reprogram and retrain them so that we don't have to keep on dealing with that and not doing that on our dime. Thank you very much for having me.
Can you let everybody know where they can find you at?
Sure, you can reach me at Mr. Peace and Love. You can reach me at Darius A. Stanton, DariusAStanton.com, or you can reach me at anything on Facebook, any social media, Twitter, Mr. Peace and Love, Darius Mr. Peace and Love, on Twitter, Instagram, Mr. Peace and Love, and the same thing with Facebook. And you can my for-profit consultant business is The Stanton Group. We do management consulting, The Stanton Group. And you can always check us out on the Peace in the Morning show every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Hopefully I can have you all come on and do some of your modeling, some of your photographs. K-Nels, you know, I want to get you on spitting, let your new song come on out, release your new CD. So, you know, Peace in the Morning show at gmail.com or Peace in the Morning show .tv. Peace in the Morning
yes,
show .tv. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. I just want to, again, thank you for, you know, taking the time out of your day and coming and bless us and building with us and stuff like that. Like, again, we want to do more of this. And again, I agree with K-Nell. It's like at some point, this is going to have to be, you know, you're going to have to take this behind closed doors with not being recorded to really get, really, really get dirty, down and dirty with this change. Some things just can't be said on air because, you know, we don't control it like that. So I definitely agree. So what we're doing as far as GI, we're going to be putting in place in New York, Atlanta, here in Maryland, in the different states that we in, we're going to be putting in place places where we can meet up and chop it up. You know what I'm saying? So be looking forward to that. You know, get with Jonathan. We're going to talk about that tonight. But, again, thank everybody for tuning in. GEI Radio on all social media platforms. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, GEI underscore Tone Mitchell. And, again, man, great show. I appreciate everybody listening, all the listeners. Thanks for tuning in. We see you all next Sunday. Peace.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.